This is one of the big ones. Intercession for the souls. This is the heart of God. This is the salvation that Jesus brings. This is the cross. This is Messiah. This is John 3:16, John 3:17. On page 13 in your prayer journal, in your workbook, praying for souls, praying for lives. Now you take a look right now at Mark 16:15, and it says, Jesus now, go into all the world and preach the gospel, good news to every creature. That's all of them. That's everyone. How about Matthew 28? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So we could see this, the very reason, I mean, look at the need for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, take a look at all of this. If this is not the centrality of praying, I'm not sure what is. This is, worship is loving God and praising God and acknowledging God and thanking Him, waiting on God. I mean, preparation even, just simply that honors God. It's an act of faith just to come and take a few moments and be quiet before the Lord, get everything else out of the way, make God, make a relationship with Jesus priority. Now, that's very important for us as we think in terms of taking time to engage, become a powerful prayer warrior. You can't do it without time. That's where you got to listen to God, guided by the Spirit of God. There is an experiential side of development here, and we know it by, well, the prayers, you know, we're told about prayer for our own life. And there's no question we'll come to that, praying about issues in our own lives and praying for things in our lives. In this workbook and journal, you'll have that in there. I have a section, my section on my life and then goals and, well, so many things that God speaks about. Jeremiah 29:11, He has a future for us. But there is this astounding grace of God that all would be saved. Now there's going to be those that reject, of course. But we see in Timothy chapter 2, chapter 2, this is where we're called in praying. Now, on your page 13, it should be Timothy chapter 1 on, and you can go to chapter 2, but 2 deals with that call of God, first of all, and the urgency. Now, I make a lot about this in my other broadcasts and training and teaching and in the book Powerhouse. That all of this is lending itself towards the ultimate issue, God's desire, God's will, the front line of everything, the centrality of everything. All heaven rejoices when one person repents and is saved. And God is not willing that anybody perish, we read. Even when it comes to the second coming, there is a primary reason why Jesus hasn't returned. And that is the goal of seeing, I believe, the most saved. So where I'm sitting in history right now, and I look back over my life, I see thousands of individuals that have gotten saved on a one-on-one basis, on a group basis, on the streets, in church, in conferences, in crusades. So many different ways in which we can step out there, and yet we're the ones called to go. We're not told to just sit back. We're called to go, and we are to go to the highways and byways, compel them to come in. So let me tell you something. When you come before the Lord in this section of your prayer journal, your massive listing here, and praying for lost individuals, and you're going to see here that I've given a lot of pages for you to go over when it comes to this, and that is involving, well, your the names of anybody, the names of family, the names of friends, the names of workmates. And so there's plenty of room back and forth pages here to write down. At one time, I had over 100 names of individuals I've met, family members. I've seen family members, you know, dad finally 23 years later get saved, my mom gets saved, my grandmother I led to Christ in the early days, my other grandmother, my wife leads to the Lord, 2 aunts have gotten saved, a young brother has gotten saved. So I have other family members that I want to see come to Christ. And again, that's God's will. Listen, as much as I want everyone, when our daughter was born and her growing in the Lord, you know, growing up, I want her to know the Lord. and know the Lord at a younger age, so she doesn't have to get into all those things that many of us did not knowing the Lord. So let's just make it very clear in this section. Praying for the lost, powerful evangelistic praying. This is one of the, well, it's good and it pleases God. I believe the power of the Spirit of God's involved. I believe as we pray for the lost, well, there's a clarity here about the hand of God going forward. Even in the book of Acts, as this, the constant prayers and they're raising their voices in prayer, they're meeting in prayer, and then we see the constant engagement in evangelism and the salvation of lives. Now, I've been praying for some people over 25, 30 years, individuals that maybe I haven't seen for a while, but I've witnessed to them, I've shared with them. Let's remember something. Jesus died on that cross for the sum total of humanity. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, going into that, that he's the only mediator, he's the only Savior. And when it talks here about praying for the lost, it says, this is good and pleases God who desires, the Greek word wills, all men, pos anthropos, the sum total of humanity, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, we do read in 2 Thessalonians 2, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. There are those who will reject. There are those who are going to just literally resist. We read about Stephen preaching, and he says to them, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Well, God has come to save. God has come to seize people. The Spirit of God is going to convict of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And you can be very clear and very sure about this. God wills, God wants, God loves the lost, and he wants them saved. And that provision, that sacrifice, that substitutionary atonement of Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, our Savior. So the provision is there, the power of God to bring the world to conviction, to draw the world, to engage the world, to, well, even in the gospel, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10. And that's a great chapter to read concerning, well, how can they believe on whom they've not heard? So I'm going to tell you that I couple major praying for the lost along with the direct evangelism. Not just praying for the lost, but both. I've got a little book by Jesse Penn Lewis I recommend, Prayer and Evangelism. And I do believe that. That's why I believe all churches, as they gather on Sunday mornings, when they've done worship, then they move to at least 20 minutes or more of major prayer, intercession, the whole church collectively, praying for the lost in the city, giving the congregational members to believers to pray for their family. Make this a big issue, pastors. We must be praying for the lost. That must be a massive, massive centrality in the intercession as we gather together. You know, churches are dying and dead when there's no prayers for souls and no heart seemingly for it. We have to ask sometimes, when have we seen that kind of passionate praying or even weeping for the lost? One founder of the Missionary Alliance Church, I believe it was, and was found hugging a globe, praying for the lost of the world. I don't know about you, but you look at the, you know, sheep without a shepherd. You look at the fields are white unto harvest. I'm going to say again, the number one reason why individuals are not getting saved, nobody's really witnessing. So I'm going to say that praying for souls puts our hearts where God is. It's the Spirit of God clothed with power in order to be that witness, and the call to go, the joy to go. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. So let me tell you something. In your daily life, praying for souls, every night, there's family members I mention even every night. I mean, I have my prayer time during the day, my big time, and then I pray before radio. I pray all these different things we do during the day. Talk to the Lord anytime. Pray without ceasing. But at night also, I'm constantly, you know, bringing up the names of other individuals and family members and others, the city I live in. and government and so forth, as instructed by the Spirit of God, by God, in 1 Timothy 2. That should be chapter 2 is the big chapter there. So think in terms of the Great Commission. Think in terms of God's heart that none should perish. Think in terms of covering people and praying for people and asking God to intervene. I believe that because of the prayers of a number of individuals, the night that I got saved, the night that somebody encountered me and witnessed to me and shared the gospel so powerfully to me, literally wouldn't let me get out of the apartment complex until they got to me and witnessed and shared. And so it rattled me. I left and went home. The story is that that night that I got saved and went looking, what church to go to and buying my first Bible at Kmart, I showed up at a church where I found out that a girl had been praying because a pastor had been praying for us for years. She remembered in September, and she started praying for me directly. After I get saved, I end up showing up at the church where she goes, and she couldn't believe it. She was in tears. I want you to know that soul-winning prayers, passionate, powerful, love-filled, Holy Spirit-guided prayer for souls is necessary every day. Satan's at work. Satan's engaging people. Satan's deceiving individuals. The lost are lost. It's us as God sends us. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And I want you to know, like even when I take teams out, when I train individuals, groups, that then we divide up into twos to go out, we're praying ahead of time. We're praying even where to go at times, what houses to go to, for the Lord to remind us who to go to. But here, in these pages in your journal, begin to put down family members, friends, everyone that you feel led to put down there, your city and so forth. And as you're praying for them and, well, inviting them to church, if you get the opportunity, go witness to them, share. And when they're getting saved, then you're marking it down. Those are some of the greatest answers, some of the most powerful things I've seen God do to save individuals. And that's important. All the events we do, all the outreach events, all radio broadcast, massive praying for souls. And I think that's vital. I think that, again, the entire church should gather and raise its, like Acts 4, raise their voices in prayer to God for the souls and lives of others to be saved, the whole city, family and friends and everybody. I believe churches that have 200-300 should set up 2 or 3 or 4 people coming to the building every day praying for souls, praying for the church, praying for God's power. And then as they pray for 30-40 minutes, go out there and make some visits and evangelize. And that connection between evangelization and sharing the gospel, well, all I can tell you is we see people powerfully pray, saved. We see people powerfully engaged. Even folks, like I'm saying with me, I'm an example of this. That person that began to pray for me the week before, and that whole week before I got saved, had no idea of the danger, almost died that weekend, and they were praying for me to be saved. They had no idea where I was. The Spirit of God reminded them. They they saw my picture in a yearbook and praying. And God guided a newly saved ex-drug pusher, powerfully saved, to come and literally just invade our great big party at my apartment. And he witnessed to a lot of individuals. And a number of people got saved, including me in the middle of the night, because the gospel is the power of God into salvation. Because the Spirit of God is witnessing, and he's convincing and convincing as God impacts individuals. And as we share this brilliant good news of God, what could be more vital? What could be more important? May God give us the Holy Spirit of great joy and burden, joyful soul winning, the burden for lost souls, to never, never, never forget until the end of history. And the end of history is wrapped around that very factor. He's not coming until the whole world has heard the gospel. That's part of the biblical prophecies of the second coming. And we read in 2 Peter that the Lord's not slow in keeping his promise. There's no delay. The fact is, his patience means more people getting saved. God wants the most, not willing that even anyone should perish, that all would come and be saved. God summons people to repent, to believe on the Lord Jesus. And when they do, that gospel is so powerful, and that Spirit of God, he is so awesome. When they get saved, when they turn to Jesus, well, then the great news, then they know what it means to be saved, the Spirit of God coming into their lives, and then maybe you're new. And that's what you begin to do. When I got saved, I wanted everybody in my family. I was a disruption to my family, lovingly, and I just went in passionately. Talking to my father, I got cussed out. Talking to my mom, she was glad to hear it. And talking to my little brother who cussed me out. And I just kept going after all of them. And some got saved right away, and friends got saved right away, and then going out on the streets and taking people to church and sitting, waiting for that invitation when the pastor invited people to come and repent and believe. Let me tell you something. You make praying for souls huge and big. You yield to the Spirit of God. You let Him remind you of names and the city you live in and the church that needs to be, I mean, on fire, praying for the souls and lives of individuals. That pleases God. That pleases God, who wills all humans, all lives to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The church should be passionate. It is the centrality. It is the mission of God. It honors Jesus, who came to save. And we are here in the mission. Every nation, every tribe, every language, every apartment complex, every street corner, every neighbor. May God so fill us with the Spirit of God in the context of praying for lost souls. Blessings to you in this.